At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that doesn't always re-release episodes, but when we do, it's due to a pandemic. This is Hysteria 51.
Oh, I love how you're acting like we're just not lazy. It's because of the pandemic, John, I promise.
We are broadcasting live, but remote from the fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago. I am your host, John Goforth, and alongside, virtually that is my co-host and the COVID to my 19?
I was just going to say something like that. I didn't know where I was going to go with it, but absolutely. You know, live's a little bit of a lie, I think, though, because we are, not only are we there listening to this recorded, but yeah, we are, even though we're in Chicagoland, we're over an hour away from one another, hunkered down in our own respective bunkers, trying not to die from the pandemic of the world.
That's right. Well, or at least try not to die of boredom. It's social distancing is I'm using a lot more Netflix.
Well, I tell you what, man, everyone is letting people free month of Shudder, and Netflix now has a group watch mode. I think Comcast or insert whatever provider you have needs to relax the limits. If people are like streaming for a month, they don't want to go over their quota of download bandwidth or whatever, because not that I do anything nefarious, but sometimes I download stuff and I go over that every once in a while and they want to charge you.
Yeah, I've had that pop up as well. I will say that I think that the work from home crowd has really put a stress on the system, or at least it did at first. I always work from home, and so I'm on it all day, every day. And the first couple of days when a lot of companies were shutting her down, boy, it was running slow. It seems to be back up to normal now. So I think they were kind of throttling it perhaps at first just to test the system. And
well, that, or we had just so many new people on, you know, you only have so much bandwidth in one arm or whatever you want to call it, and then they're all on. But for you and I, now you travel a lot, so you're not exactly the same, but you and I both work from home anyway, so it's not that different. I'm still in my pajamas.
Though, let's be honest, if you're going into an office, that wouldn't change.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, I'm grounded. I about every other week, I'm normally in the air on my way to generally New York, but sometimes LA, sometimes other places.
You say every other week, but damn, it feels like every week. So
I think that's one of those lies I tell myself. Like, it's every other week, except for this month. This month's a little different, but it winds up being every week. Yeah, so I'm normally in the air a lot when I'm not working from home. Not now. However, I was in New York 2 weeks ago, and I did depart with a parting gift. So I got home and started to feel a little under the weather. Eventually got a really sore throat and was coughing a bit. And knew that I was a victim of the pandemic. I had ridden the New York subways. It's all over with, you know.
Now, you hadn't seen Pizza Rat, but you did see, what's the new one?
Oh, no, the Band Rat.
Egg McMuffin Rat or whatever it is.
No, it was the Band Rat. They were actually playing for free in the subway.
Round and round, what comes around goes around. Pandemic,
just give it time. I went to urgent care, and I was positive for strep throat.
Well, that's better than being crudded up like that monkey from Outbreak, which I would have bet on for you. So
it's true. I've never been so happy to have a positive strep throat diagnosis.
Now, I don't know how I feel about this, that you have strep throat and my wife has strep throat. That makes me feel a little uneasy.
reasons, Brent. Reasons.
She's you and her are both eating from the C-Bot stash. I understand.
That's right. That's right.
MREs.
He keeps saying he's sprinkling seasoning on, but I don't think that's seasoning. But yeah, so Brent, we wanted to hop on live, or not, I guess not live, but we wanted to hop on and record some new a new intro for this episode, given the current state of affairs.
We released episode 180, I believe it was, this week, and we are re-releasing all the way back episode 9.
Episode 9. I went back and listened. It includes our old intro. It also, the sound clarity is roughly that of a couple tin cans and some string between the two.
There's a potato in there somewhere, too.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. I will say that my dulcet tones haven't changed. I am on point.
I remember recording that and just using the chemical pouches or whatever it was to kick that food and the cheese whiz spread shit that we're both like, this is not nearly as bad as I thought it was going
to
be.
If you haven't listened to this episode, you're about to, but we try some MREs at the end. So let's set the table. Kids, we're about to the episode you're about to listen to is the Prepping for the Apocalypse episode where we go through how to build a bug out bag. Now, let's be clear. We are in no way endorsing or saying that you should bug out. There's nothing, you know, I think social distancing is a far cry from the zombie apocalypse. Everything's okay. Everything's okay. Everybody's just going to be fine. We're going to have to overdose on Hulu and Netflix for a few months. We're going to be okay. I think that's worth saying, and we'll talk about that a little bit more before we launch into the episode. But Brent, you brought up the idea; it was a great one to put this episode out because as things progress, you're going to start thinking about, okay, if what if the power went out for a day? What kind of like stuff would I need to have at home to kind of prepare for that?
Right, and the difference or the nice thing about a bug out bag is it also can be used as a bug in bag. It has necessities and things that you might need. Case in point, I think we talked about this in the episode too. In 2005, when those tornadoes came through where I was living, I was without power for 11 days, and that's a hell of a thing to deal with when you're like, I got nothing. And this wasn't at a time when you had smartphones with flashlights and things like that. So you should always be prepared, almost like a Boy Scouts might tell you to be. But yeah, it's an important thing to think about, especially in times, because I think as far going into the future as we do, we always think, well, this can't happen. And then boom, here we are with dealing things like that once again.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny. One of the points we made in the episode, which is so, I think, important to reiterate, is how important it is to realize that the safest place right up until it isn't, but the safest place to be and to stay is your home, right? Right. You have a consistent source of power, water, you know, like it's funny saying even these things, but given the fact that it's not like society is crumbling, literally they're just saying, don't go to bars and movies for a while.
Fuck you.
Fuck it. That's it. I'm moving to the forest. Yep. But
now I know what Lincoln felt like.
That's exactly right. But I do think it, you know, like you said, like a Boy Scout, always be prepared. It doesn't hurt to consider having some things around in the case that the unforeseen or the unexpected happens. Being prepared doesn't mean you're going to take wild and stupid actions. It just means that you're ready. And I think there's no harm in that. But I did want to, Brent, touch on, and you and I talked about this before the show. You know, the world that the new world that we live in, and gosh, I was sending some emails to some clients today and realizing I was sitting with them at their offices literally 2 weeks to the day ago, like how quickly this has all changed. The new world we live in isn't all that dramatically different from our old world in the sense that you still have everything you need to be pampered in the luxury that you're accustomed to. You know, we aren't, this isn't DEFCON 5.
I think the funny, well, going along with that, true, is I think it's funny that people go, the media is blowing it out of proportion, or this politician or that group. Really, it's social media that seems to be blown out of proportion, and whether that be the constant jokes, which we've partaken in, or just the hearsay information that's spread around, it's hard to understand or to keep straight what's really going on in the world, when really, if you get a 2-week work-from-home staycation, it's really not that big of a deal. And that is good to be able to do so that we don't pass it on to other people who don't have the immune systems to be able to fight it.
Well, that's right. It's kind of moderating the don't panic with the take this shit seriously. You know, when you saw the revelers on St. Patrick's Day, 300 people crowded into a tiny bar. It's like, okay, you guys are idiots. You shouldn't be doing that. Or I shouldn't say idiots, maybe uninformed. 10 foot high and bulletproof, as my dad used to say. Like, that's how you feel when you're... Now that we get older and hangovers hit us like a ton of bricks, we just don't feel that way anymore. But the reality is that social distancing matters. I mean, the experts, the people, not us, have modeled this thing out. And you're talking about the difference in millions upon millions of lives, generally older and more susceptible folks, versus a lot less. And it's all whether we take the steps necessary today. That's why, you know, I mean, we're already seeing trends, this show included, across the podcasting space of a lot more people downloading because they've changed their habits and they're listening to a lot more podcasts while they're sitting around the house.
Which was money well spent on the production and distribution of this virus just so we could do that. So well done, C-Bot.
Well done, C-Bot. Yeah. Way to get us 10 extra listeners. Thank you. But it's worth pointing out that balance is so important. Don't freak out. It's going to be okay. Take care of the people next to you. Take care of your neighbors. Take care of your loved ones. But at the same time, while you're not freaking out, don't not take this seriously either. Not that you need to be preached at from us. You've probably heard this everywhere. But the mainstream media is not out to get you. They're just trying to let everybody know what's going on. We do live in a 24-hour news cycle. I just think we all just need to, you know, keep that balance, keep our heads.
Yeah, take a step back and keep that head, like you said, and wits about you so that you can dissect through the actual media, the social media, the things like that, and know what is right, what is wrong, what's good for you, what isn't. And you know, because also a lot of you have kids and they're the ones that are going to be picking up these social cues and feeling how you're reacting to things. So just keep that in mind. And everything is fine, especially if you have your bug out bag. And John.
That's right.
We're going to teach them how to do that. Well, we already did it. They're just going to listen again.
Just keep in mind, we called the show Prepping for the Apocalypse 3 years ago. Right, we're not saying that today. We are not saying that today. This is not
the
apocalypse.
We also did say in that episode, minimum of 400 rolls of toilet paper and shoot anyone who says otherwise.
Didn't we also mention something about hand sanitizer and paper towels?
No, just toilet paper.
Oh.
That's all this really is. It's just a bag full of toilet paper.
One huge backpack full of toilet paper. Yeah, and along that, one other soapbox item. Don't punch anyone for toilet paper. I'm just going to go ahead and throw that out there. It might be controversial. I'm going to stick with it.
Been. You kick them or you shoot at them. No, don't do that. No, don't do any of this. But yeah, don't get so close to people you can punch them. And you know,
that's a really valid point.
Buy a bidet. They're awesome. Your butt will never be cleaner. And then you don't have to worry about toilet paper near as much as you do if you're just wiping and swiping instead of blowing after you're going. I don't know. There's something in there. There's a song somewhere.
So I switched a while back to the... what do you call it? Like the wet wipes, the disposable wipes that, you know, don't flush more than one at a time, but I always flush more than one at a time.
Yeah, there's no such thing as disposable wipe, but yeah, disposable wipes that they always put on them. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, those are the great part about the pandemic for me is even when you go to Costco and all of the other paper products are sold out, they've got my wipes in droves.
Yeah, you're using wet wipes and Puffs Plus for the next 6.5 years with aloe.
With aloe.
Baby, feel my butthole. It is so soft. You're going to love this.
Hey, before we let everybody go, Brent, and dive into Prepping for the Apocalypse, let's talk a little bit about what the next few weeks are going to entail. We're gonna release some fun episodes. We are eventually going to be releasing our next H51 adventure.
Yes, our H51 audio fun time adventure hour, I think is the actual terminology there.
You might have just made that up.
We're going to have to work on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's coming up in just a few weeks. We've got some bonus episodes coming up. So we're not going dark. Even if we don't have the normal episode, you're going to get bonus episodes and you're going to get some extra content like we're doing right now, because no one wants to be stuck quarantined or whatever's going on. Hopefully, in a week from now, we're still putting the show out and we haven't been all destroyed by
Alien.
The curse of King Tut, because they did just move a circle.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. So this is really, this is the curse of King Tut, hiding, or I'm sorry, masquerading as COVID-19.
Right. That's exactly right. And I think that we all should have seen this coming. And it's one of the plagues of Egypt was low toilet paper. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Oh gosh. Right after, was that before or after the locusts?
It was after, because luckily they, you know, they picked up the locusts and wiped with them. So
okay, I'm done. This is no more fun remotely. You still make the same bad jokes.
I'm like a fine wine. It's an acquired taste.
Wait, is fine wine an acquired taste? I feel like
I don't know.
Coffee is an acquired taste.
So is wine, because you know how many people are like, this is delicious, and I go, oh my god, that's disgusting.
Aren't you getting the leather and the cassis?
Mm. Yeah, is there a hint of boysenberry in there?
And tobacco?
No, that's the made in a toilet. In a
that's a that's prison wine. Yeah. Hey, last thing. We'll probably do some fun things here and there. You mentioned Netflix watch parties. I don't know if that would support our entire listenership or not, but
well, considering, you know, it's hard to always get that many people. I don't know. We probably get 15, 20 people in there watching. I mean, but no one wants to watch constant Downton Abbey with you. I shouldn't say no one, but I doubt.
No. Listen, I am not. Season 3 was just a letdown for me. I don't know. I never watched Downton Abbey.
You call this an Abbey?
But stay tuned, kids. We're going to try to do some fun things along the way as we are all quarantined, as we're all social distancing.
Yep, you got it. So keep that in mind, kids. And without further ado, here is our look back to, I believe it was early 2017, late 2016 when this came out, episode 9. Prepping for the apocalypse, which we're going to call it something nicer, bug out / bug in bag now. To
bug in bag is I dig it. I like that.
All right. So real quick, with that said, before we go back to
hola, David, me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it, so it's very high on pronunciation, too, so you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation, yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I have to go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know, and we don't do long term stuff like this, and this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get now. Started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today.
But I've been Brent.
I've been John.
And he hasn't been Conspiracy Bot.
The following is a Fourth Hand production.
Message is being transmitted at the request of the United States government. This is an emergency broadcast transmission. This is not a test. This is an emergency broadcast transmission. This is not a test. Evacuate the streets and take shelter immediately. The unknown threat is known to be deadly and martial law has been declared. Take a battery-powered radio and essential supplies to shelter. Stay tuned to this or any other station for further information. Repeat, this is not a test.
When it all comes crashing down, where will you go? What will you do? Are you ready? Preparing for the apocalypse next on Hysteria 51.
Life is a mystery. Confusion is all around us. The truth is out there, but you won't find it here. Welcome to Hysteria 51. Come inside our secret hideaway as we talk conspiracy theories, mysteries, and the unexplained. All viewed through skeptical eyes and the blurry lens of a beer bottle. Now, here are your hosts, Brent Hand and John Goforth.
Welcome, Hysteria Nation, into an apocalyptic edition of Hysteria 51. I am your host, Brent Hand. With me, as always, John Goforth. What's up, Gofo?
I'd forever like to be known now as John Doomsday Prepper Goforth.
Have you been ducking and covering all week long, looking
on
your turtle position?
I am now prepared for the end of the world in any of the many ways that it might come.
Well, see, we grew up with Ronald Reagan in the Cold War when we were in school. Do you remember, like, the duck and cover drills when they're like, all right, everyone under your desk. Everyone knows that elementary school issued desks will stop nuclear explosions and chemical weapons. Don't know if you knew that or not.
It's a little known fact, but it's a very good one. I remember when I was in third grade, said desk, I was the class clown. I know you're shocked by that. And I jumped on the top of the desk when the teacher went out of the room and acted like I was surfing.
You fucking rebel.
But, you know, I didn't have the balls to keep doing it when the teacher came back in. So, you know, we had to look out and, hey, the teacher's on their way. So I jumped off. My problem was, as I jumped off, I kicked a little bit and the desk went flying. All my shit went flying out of it. And it was kind of obvious what had happened. My parents were called.
And it's still traumatic to this day. 30 plus years later.
No, I'm still proud to this day.
That's the way it goes. So we are talking apocalypse prep, doomsday prep, specifically bug out bags. This actually wasn't the episode that we were going to be doing this week, but a little thing called the presidential election in America happened. And we thought, what a better topic than the apocalypse. And let's be honest, Donald Trump is the president-elect, but we'd probably be doing this exact same thing if Hillary Clinton had been the president-elect.
Well, yeah, it started from me making the joke that, man, if Trump gets elected, you know, are we going to go bug out to the wilderness? And you said,
I got my bag ready.
You literally had your bug out bag ready. And while I knew what that was, I didn't think people actually did that.
I'm that guy.
Right. Then we started just kind of bullshitting back and forth. Before we record a show, we always go to dinner. Normally we go to Buffalo Wild Wings. So much love to Buffalo Wild Wings. We're sitting at Buffalo Wild Wings
Give
chatting.
Give us free shit, Buffalo Wild Wings.
Now.
This is your conscience speaking.
So we're sitting at dinner and I say, man, if Trump actually gets elected, it might be time for us to all hightail it out of here. And I don't mean, you know, move to Canada or something like that. I just meant I was almost making a joke about it's doomsday. And Brent's like, yep, got my bag ready.
And like I said, my bag was
I've had it for a long time, and I knew people were going to go ape shit no matter if Hillary was elected or if a Trump was elected, because if there's one thing you can count on Americans to do, it's go fucking ape shit crazy on anything.
No. So we kept talking about it, and you know, the topics of this show, zombies, aliens, crazy shit that we haven't even talked about yet, are reasons that you might need to abandon your home. You might need to stay in your home but lock the doors. There are reasons that apocalypse could happen.
You might need to bug out.
You might need to bug out. So we said, hey, let's talk about how to prepare for an apocalypse.
And here we are.
And it turns out that I didn't know this. Apparently Brent did, because he was already preparing. This is a whole thing. There's a show on National Geographic called Doomsday Preppers.
Oddly enough, that sounds like it'd be right up my alley. I don't watch it. So many of those shows on those channels are just the same regurgitated shit over and over. You can only see so many backwoods dudes explain to you why you need a fucking machete at all times. And you're just like, I got it, dude.
It's pretty awesome. I mean, they find some amazing folks. There was one guy that was preparing by training his own army of dogs.
They never start out an episode like, we're here to talk with this doomsday prepper. Senator, why don't you let us know what you like to do to prep?
It's a good point. Not sure what this gentleman's job was, but he literally did surgery on some of his dogs to give them titanium teeth.
Oh, that seems A, humane, and B, fucking crazy as shit. Like, come on. Like, is this guy been... You know, I really like Dachshunds, but you know what they're lacking? Is that what they were? Like, they had to have been, like, you know, German Shepherds, but I wish it was some, like, little bitty fucking, you know, like...
Chihuahua.
Yeah, like... But he's got titanium incisors. Yep, batshit crazy.
100%. And Conspiracy Bot, I see you turning red right now. We apologize. We haven't introduced you yet. Everyone, if you haven't listened to the show before, this is our third member, Conspiracy Bot. Conspiracy Bot, how are you doing tonight?
I am sitting pretty. I am zombie proof and don't need a bug out bag like you meat sacks.
Well, that's true. You probably don't need a bug out, but if they turn the power grid off, you're probably hosed, dude.
That is what I have you two for.
You'll be even more dependent on us.
Remember, we're your masters.
The tables will be turned. Quit pointing that laser pointer at me.
He thinks it's an actual laser. I try to make him happy every once in a while.
It's like giving a dog a fake chicken, you know. They chew on it for a while.
So before we get into, you know, our bug out bags and types of disasters, very important question. What are you drinking this week, John?
I'm continuing my Shandy tour. Leinenkugel made a new one that I thought I would try. It is Leinenkugel's Autumn Tea Shandy. So it's the way they describe it is a traditional Weiss beer with natural and refreshing tea flavors. Perfect for an autumn afternoon.
I actually gave that one a chance, gave it a try. Tastes just like tea, like unsweetened tea.
It really does.
Yeah.
But with alcohol.
That's the best tea.
When I was trying to lose weight, I mean, I'm trying to lose weight, but when I was really trying to lose weight, I'd go to the bar and instead of ordering, you know, whatever mixed drink with all the sugar in it, I would get vodka with iced tea. And it sort of tastes like that.
Well, they have that, what's that stuff called? Like Deep Eddies or whatever it is, the iced tea flavored vodka.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's Deep Eddies, but...
Jeremiah Weed.
That's it, yep. My wife actually drinks that from time to time.
Oh, that has gotten way too many college kids in way too much trouble.
So, I actually have switched it up this week. I am drinking Bud Light out of a bottle. Who knew? No cans for me this week. All bottles.
You are an innovator.
Yeah.
You're ahead of your time.
You sound just like me in the mirror every morning.
You're dynamic. You're progressive. And gosh darn it.
People like you.
Yeah.
CB, what you got over there? Anything good this week?
I raided your bug out bags. I am drinking rubbing alcohol mixed with the shit they put in glow sticks. Oh, and a lime wedge.
They call that the I don't even have a joke for that. That's just fucking disgusting. put some hair on your metal chest. I like it. I like it. So we've done a lot of talking about bug out bags and things like that. And maybe you don't exactly know what we're talking about. John, what is a bug out bag? Why do people need it?
So there's the possibility that bad shit happens in our future.
No.
You're whether crazy. It be a natural disaster, whether it be civil unrest or a million other things that we will get into. What do you do when that happens? When
I can tell you right now, you scream, you get in your car and you drive as slow as possible. Because that's what they do in every fucking movie. And honk your horn incessantly. Meep, meep, meep.
Your eyes get as big as half dollars and you just stare at each other.
Actually, you find Tom Cruise and follow him. Because that's how you live. Now, it ain't gonna be easy. But that motherfucker's gonna come out on the other end.
So when society falls, what do you do? We are going to cover mostly what you do when you need to abandon your home. It is time to go.
Which isn't always the best option. Possibly.
Right. That was going to be my point. I think that it most of the time isn't a good option. Now, of course, if something like Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Sandy, something like that, that staying in your home is literally a danger.
Stay and pray, baby. I've been here for four generations. I ain't leaving. Stay and pray. Stay and pray.
If it's going to be a danger to you, get the fuck out. But if you aren't certain, remember, I mean, our society is built on community. We're not going to go from 0 to 60 from, hey, neighbor, how you doing, to fuck you, give me all your food. That's not going to happen overnight. In fact, communities...
We'll pretend that's the truth. Keep going.
He's got his tinfoil hat back on.
That's literally step two on the list of shit I gave my wife, Lisa, on what to do on civil unrest. Number one, get the gun. Number two, go to the neighbor. Give me all your shit. Number three, store water. No.
If you can, stay home. Because guess what? Your bed feels better than the ground. It's a lot more sterile at home. You also are a lot more... You're also a lot more protected, right? So you know all the entries to your home. You know the access
and
routes.
If the civil unrest is vampires, they can't come in unless you invite them.
Unless you invite them.
So,
right.
Hey, you're good to go.
But, I mean, seriously, if the world is in a bad situation, if you can stay at home, even if you're in a major metropolitan area, do so. What a majority of this podcast is going to be focusing on is when that's not an option. When zombies are going to be at your door. When the fabric of society has broken down.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was Abraham Lincoln or Thomas Edison, but someone famous and really smart said, when the shit goes down, you better be ready.
It was Samuel L. Jackson, I believe.
That's,
yeah,
you know.
Our future president.
President-elect Samuel L. Jackson.
Samuel L. Jackson, 2020. Actually, isn't Kanye already running?
So he states. We're not really in talking terms, so I can't say for sure, though, since the incident.
You told him not to name his baby that.
Yay. I had dibs. North Hand? I had dibs. I had dibs. Kanye, if you're listening, stop.
So shit is going down, and you gotta leave.
Gotta go.
Before we get into what you need to bring with you or have prepared, let's talk about the situations where that would be critical.
One of them that you actually touched on in your little pitch there was... natural disasters, and one of my favorite that I think people think of it as not.
I love how you start with natural disasters, and the first adjective you use is favorite.
One of my favorite natural disasters was earthquake in the WWF back in the day. Him and Typhoon were wrecking shop. No.
That was a whole lot of man for a tag team group.
So, super volcanoes. Yellowstone National Park is what they call a caldera. It is a giant volcano. It's so big that people didn't realize it was a volcano because it's so massive. If it erupts, we're fucked. Kind of like the planet. It can spew so much ash that'll block out the sun for, I don't know, fucking years.
Yeah, I mean, they they say you're certainly fucked almost to the Eastern Seaboard.
Yeah, like,
and then if you're on the Eastern Seaboard, you might not die, but all of the ash and the blockage of the sun would be an issue.
So when it erupts, there is a an ejection of
semen.
That's exactly what I was going to say. After the semen, there is this superheated air, that scalding air that comes out that will just like flash fry shit for hundreds and hundreds of miles. And then the ash, we're in Chicago, the ash is going to come down on us and we'll be under several feet of ash. That's just fucking crazy to even think of. Guess what? We're not staying home. We got to get the fuck out of here.
Oh, we're kind of like winter in Chicago.
Except for instead of ash, it's just, it looks like ash because it's dirty, it's dirty fucking snow. Yeah.
Lakeshore Drive is shut down for 2 days.
I love how, you know, that the fucking lake comes right up to the shoreline, yet every fucking year in Chicago, dumbasses walk out on the ice, fall in and die because somehow they forget that you can't walk out on the fucking lake when it's frozen. That dude needed a bug out bag.
He needed more than that. But I mean, even to this day, you're talking about natural disasters. This wouldn't be a reason to bug out. But just a few years ago here in Chicago, people were abandoning their cars on Lakeshore Drive.
Yeah. Well, they were letting them run and people were in their cars for 10 and 12 hours. They ran out of gas and they were going to freeze. And they actually had emergency personnel bringing like food and blankets and shit to the people in the cars and be like, stay, because if you walk and try to get out of here, you'll probably fucking freeze because you're dressed in your work clothes.
But, and it's a really valid point to bring that stuff up, because a natural disaster like that isn't a reason to bug out.
No, exactly. But that's like,
if there's going to be a tornado in your area, that's awful. And they kill thousands of people every year and it's terrible. It's not a reason to bug out. It's a reason to evacuate that particular area that evening.
But now a hurricane is a reason to possibly bug out.
Potentially, yeah. But in the short term, you're still only going 3 hours away from your home, probably.
In 2005, I was living in Springfield, Illinois, and they had two tornadoes came through. And Springfield's a big enough town that normally tornadoes would never hit, they said, because of the amount of like heat and blah, 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 that a larger city produces. But this was just a freak accident. And we didn't have power for 11 days. And that's kind of crazy to think about. I look back on it. And a lot of my friends that had their own apartments, we all stayed at my house because I had the biggest place. And we were using one of those, you know, those jump boxes that you plug into, like, jump a car?
Yeah.
And it had, like, a 120-volt plug-in. And we were using that. And that's the only power we had for 11 days. Just living off of like Oreos and fucking Doritos and bottled water. And it's, you know, it's one of those things that you think like, man, it's, you know, that's never going to happen. 11 years ago, 11 years, 11 days, you know? So.
Right. But once again,
I wasn't bugging out.
Not a reason to go. You actually were bugging in.
But exactly that. I bugged in, I hunkered down. But we're going to use a lot of the same things that we're going to talk about in this episode, bugging in, which we'll get to.
But back to the reasons to bug out. We mentioned the massive natural disaster. The next would be, I suppose, civil unrest.
Yeah, martial law could be declared, something like that. Whether it is a natural disaster or, you know, we're invaded by the Russians a la, or, you know, what was that, Red Dawn or something like that.
Or just the general population decides to go batshit.
Yeah, yeah. People like, you know, I mean, it didn't get there, but Ferguson, Missouri, think about that a couple years ago with all the rioting and burning and things like that. That was one of those things where I remember all over people are like, they're going to declare martial law. They're going to declare martial
yeah,
law.
Yeah, yeah. A new Tickle Me Elmo comes out and you can't get one.
That's right. And also, martial law. Badass Tekken character for all you people out there.
Tekken 4 was the best one.
I'm going with Tekken Tag. Now they're up to Tekken 7, so you know, we're a little behind on the times, but yeah. Martial law, force law, I digress.
So, Brent, what is martial law?
It's the imposition of highest ranking military officer as the military governor or the head of the government, thus removing all power from the previous executive, legislative, and judicial branches of government. It is usually imposed temporarily when the government or civilian authorities fail to function effectively, e.g. maintain order and security or provide essential services.
I prefer IE, not EG. So if you could just go ahead and change that next time. Yeah.
IE.
So you were hunting for a joke there.
I.e. digging for one. If anyone here watched Fear the Walking Dead, the first season was they were living under martial law. They were had to stay in. They wanted to bug out, but the military was making them bug in, if you will. That's a really good example of that. You know, you all of a sudden the military's in. They're telling you what to do. You have curfews. You have things like that. You might need to get out if you can.
Your rights no longer exist.
Yeah, to a certain extent. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I mean, really, under martial law, your rights no longer exist to a complete extent in that the military official, or let's be frank about it, whomever has the most guns is in charge and decides what your rights extend
to. Which is pretty much how the world works anyway.
under the thin veil of civility.
That's right. That's right. I mean, that's definitely something. And then going back to what I was talking about in Springfield, when we had the tornadoes come through, massive power grid failure.
You're right. So if an EMP goes off.
Yeah. Or, you know, a hurricane destroys all the power plants and poles and things like that. And they're not going to be able to get them to you for an extended period of time. Or, you know, there is a natural disaster that we haven't talked about. What if there was like a pole shift or something like that fucks up all our infrastructure and you need to get away from where you're at?
Or the aliens come down and kill our power grid.
You damn right. That's a code 3, as we called on Hysteria 51.
You're just waiting for that. Why do I feel like every time I bring this up, you're like, I can't wait.
That's how I spend my weekends. Just like, dear diary, another week's gone by. I still haven't been.
They're not here yet. Up.
Yeah.
Where are you? Zaxxon? Pericles?
So,
I don't know why his name is Pericles.
We're just going to go with it. Another big one, nuclear disaster. And I don't exactly mean with that someone dropped a bomb on us, but nuclear meltdown, you know, Fukushima. I don't know how to say it. Fukushima reactor, I think is how you said it in Japan, you know, and now you got to watch how much sushi eat because you might get tainted fish.
Well, that was already true because of the mercury.
Oh, that's true. I mean, you can't eat a ton of it. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's just one of those things where you never know. You never know. My brother-in-law worked in Byron at the plant, and they have the, you know, if you ever watch The Simpsons, those, you know, the big
Byron,
pipes.
Byron, Illinois. There's a nuclear plant there?
There's a nuclear power plant, a reactor. And they would let the people in the city know, like, okay, I'm making this up, but on Thursday the 3rd, we are going to be turning off the third stack and scrubbing it. And on Friday the 17th...
What does that mean? Like, don't go fishing that day?
No, it's normal. Because they always said, like, if you look up and, like, two of the stacks are off and it's not one of those days, run. Like, get out. But chances are...
Oh, got it.
But chances are, if you're there and you can see it, you're too close. You know, as far as, like, if it was actually to melt down and explode or whatever. And
obviously, with nuclear disaster, much like massive power grid failure, it's all to the degree in which it's failing.
Well, as we stated, if this really happens, you don't need a bug out bag. You just find a local school, get under a desk, turtle position, write it out. You're fine.
You're good to go.
You are fine. My next favorite, war. I don't know why that's my...
The card game?
Yeah, yeah. I got a king. Fuck you.
Right, but so if war broke out in the sense that there were multiple invading forces on U.S. soil and our military was not going to be able to defend us.
So pretty much every other country in human history, except for ours. Well, I mean, even ours, you know, with the British. But yeah, like that shit, it seems so far-fetched unless you live in crap shitistan. And then you're like, oh, that was last Thursday. Yeah, I had to get the fuck out.
Did you?
Crap shitistan.
I've never been there.
It's a new country. Very small. Main export, beans.
That was so insulting on so many levels to so many different people. All right. Next one that's near and dear to my heart, zombie apocalypse.
Which I think on this whole list is probably the most realistic.
Most likely.
To happen. And if you've been paying attention, we just did an episode on the zombie apocalypse, so you know all the ways that it could happen.
While it probably isn't the most likely, we're being funny. Laugh now. No, while it's not the most likely, it is the best example of a reason that you have to bug out because you have to get away from a populated area.
I would hope you would. Except for it worked out for those people that just stayed put in 28 days later. They're just like, I'm just going to live in this high rise here. And yeah, we survived it.
Until the good guys come. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you have to get out because people become the weapon. People become the problem.
Yeah. Which, you know, no matter what happens, usually people become the problem anyway. So.
See, I just don't believe that. I don't think that society, the fabric of society just breaks,
John,
the moment something bad happens.
You poor, naive bastard.
Am I one of those guys that gets killed in the first 5 minutes of the movie?
You're what we like to call food.
Fodder. I am cannon fodder.
Like, everything's fine. Little Timmy, what are you
Everybody,
doing?
Everything's going to be fine. Listen, just go back to your homes and...
Now let's rape the corpse. Like, oh, I had such high hopes.
And then, you know, the unknown, the things that we haven't spoken about yet. The, you know, turns out that Green Lantern's real and he's a bad guy.
Yeah. Or all of a sudden you hear a trumpet, half the world's gone and you were a heathen and didn't believe in Jesus. Uh-oh, the rapture. I better... Better find myself some sardines.
Then again, with a bag with a canteen and a flashlight probably is going to help you in that particular case.
Oh, hey, demon, come here. You like Vienna sausages?
Side note, Brent really likes Vienna sausages.
I eat them for pleasure and for sport.
Like, most of us wouldn't get near them if you smelled them. Even if they were in your bug out bag and you took them with you and it's the end of the world and you're really hungry, you're like, I don't know. I might be good.
You know what?
There's some earthworms around.
I will eat all of them. You got to love anything that comes in a can and it says number one snack of hunters.
And I am not kidding when I tell you I've seen this man eat them. And once he's finished them, go ahead and take down that juice.
And if possible, buy the spicy ones. They're the best.
I was hungry before. I am no longer.
So we're going to get into the actual bug out bags that we've been talking about. But first, we're going to go to break real quick. And when we get back, we're going to talk about the actual bug out bags themselves and what you should have in your bag. We'll be right back with more Hysteria 51. This episode of Hysteria 51 is brought to you by the one and only Castlelight Productions. That's right, a full-service video production company that does everything from music videos, live festival travel, to even short films. Hey, Conspiracy Bot, imagine if Castlelight had been around for, say, I don't know, Loch Ness Monster? Bigfoot, perhaps? What about a single spaceship sighting?
I'll tell you what would have happened. We would have seen all these phenomena in crystal clear HD video.
These guys do it all. So even if you just want an epic video of your three-legged cat jumping in cinematic slow motion, Castlelight's for you. You can find their portfolio and contact information on our page and also at www.vimeo.com/Castlelight Productions.
Project Archivist, the podcast that talks about the weird, the wonderful, and the strange. Join us every week as your hosts Rogan and Lobo take a different look at the world around us through guest interviews, discussion, or taking a look at the week's weirdest news. Find us at www.projectarchivist.com, on iTunes in the podcast section, or on the Stitcher Android app.
Welcome back to the Bug Out edition of Hysteria 51. Brent, you've had a bag for a while. Why don't you take us through it?
Yeah, a few years ago, my dad actually was like, hey, you should put a bag together just in case. Even growing up when I was a kid, my parents always had, at that time was a literal a trash bag in our trunk, and always had extra shoes and extra blankets and a coat and, you know, flares and things like that. And a few years ago, my dad got into this whole, you know, doomsday prep, be prepared, things like that. And he bought me a 90-day supply of food. And it comes in two big fucking tubs, and I have it. And it's like, oh, in case of, that would probably be more like a, you know, a staying in, but you could throw it in your car and take it with you. If shit goes down, you know, you got food and you should have a bag ready. And I was like, you know what? That's a good idea. You never know what happens. So I started putting it together. And that was the joke, you know, that we made to one another of, you know, hey, we might need a bug out. And I'm like, hey, I got a bag. I'm ready to go. So literally.
So you literally have a bag that's sitting in your closet or somewhere like that.
Yeah, it's in our closet in our office, just ready to go.
When shit goes down, everything that we just covered, you go pick up the bag and you leave your home.
Yeah, I went to an Army Surplus store and it's a it looks like a messenger bag, but it has straps for your back, which I can't tell you enough. If you got to carry a bag around, you need to be able to put it on your back. You don't want to carry it in one hand. It gets fucking heavy and it's terrible. So this looks like a messenger bag. You can carry like bag, but it does go on your back as well.
And wouldn't you say that assuming you can afford to buy a bag that's decent, you also want a waist strap because you need to, these bags are going to be heavy.
Yeah. Well, this bag was $30 when I bought it. It has a waist strap and the strap,
the waist strap helps distribute the weight.
Yeah, exactly. And the flap at the top, like I keep saying, messenger bag, actually you don't even need to use. And it opens up to the damn thing. It'll be like 4 foot or something like that. If you wanted to fill it. Yeah.
Like 4 foot
holds
tall.
Holds a ton. It is heavy, heavy canvas and it's covered in rubber, I think, on the outside. It's 100% waterproof. $30, it was worth it. You know, the clasps on it are metal instead of, you know, I guess plastic, which most of them are. So it's pretty durable. It was a good buy. I'm sure you can find it online, probably cheaper. I literally bought it from a Chicagoland Army Surplus store. And then next to it,
which in my research I found, while they're very helpful, Army Surplus stores are not the
cheapest place in the world. Yeah. And there's one guy that works at all of them because when you go in, you swear it's the same fucking guy.
His name's Earl.
Yeah. And he's just fucking staring at you. And it doesn't matter if you're like a 12-year-old or a 50-year-old. He's like, damn kids. Like, that's the attitude they have, you know?
But if you start to get into something they don't really want you rooting around in, they got to help you.
Well,
I've been looking around it for an hour. You didn't ask if I could help, but the moment I get over to the gas masks, gotta help you.
And they always have the complaint department take a number, and it's a grenade with a number one on the pen.
On the pen,
you know, like what you did, Earl. So I got, just like you said, in our office, I got my bag sitting there next to it. The one thing I don't keep in the bag, that's more just as a joke, I actually have a gas mask, which I guess, hey, you never fucking know, but I have a gas mask and it sits next to it. So if the shit really goes down, I guess I'm ready.
Would you even know if it's a functional gas mask until it was too late?
The guy who sold it to me assured me it was functional, and they all of them in his trunk looked really nice.
Oh, this wasn't Earl.
The bag itself, it's got a couple compartments on the outside, and on one of the things I keep there for easy access is a multi-tool. I think it's a Gerber multi-tool. You got a knife, you got a little saw, it flips open, you've got a pair of pliers, things that everyone's seen a multi-tool. Next to that, I got pens and pencils. I don't know why I'll ever need a pencil as opposed to the pen, but I got them both. I also have a little, it looks like a notebook, a small one, but it's waterproof paper. So if it gets wet, you can still use it. Magnifying glass.
Wait, I got to stop you. You've got paper, you've got a pencil. I'm imagining you in like a foxhole in World War I. Dear Sally.
My dearest Lisa, I hope this letter finds you well. They're always so eloquent. Whereas like now it's like, dear Lisa, show me your tits. Like send me a pic of your tits. Where were those World War I foxhole notes?
I think it's more. I think you went a little overboard there. You're right. Back at war, it was very eloquent. My dearest Lisa, my heart belongs to you.
Yeah,
I will forever.
They're never excavating, and they find one of those notes, and they open it up, and everyone's like with bated breath.
But
they
you open say, it. Show me your tits. You'd be like, hey, yo, I think I'm going to die. Make sure and clear the cookies in history on my internet.
Right. That's what I keep on my emergency alert bracelet. You know, allergic to penicillin. Please clear my internet browser history. Yeah. So also on the outside there, I've got a magnifying glass, which is good because I'm fucking blind as shit. And also you can start a fire with it. Stuff like
I
that.
I know that is true because when I was a child, my grandfather, the same grandfather that was a Detroit Lions fan and turned me into one. Thanks, Grandpa.
So he didn't love you is what you're getting at?
I actually called him Popa, so thanks, Popa.
Hey, let's teach John to be a real man by setting up for a life of disappointment.
He's not going to get made fun of enough. Let's make him a Lions fan. All right. Hey, they're 5-4 right now, by the way. No, but my point was he had been in World War II and was actually on a battle carrier. in the Pacific, and you know, enemy ordnance came in and knocked him off the ship. He got a purple heart, all that. Because of that, he was then legally blind for the rest of his life. He had a degenerative ocular disease called retinitis pigmentosus. Anyway, wow. The point
that's
being,
fun.
He had a magnifying glass the size of a small basketball.
He just walked around with it.
No, he kept it at home whenever he wanted to. Whenever he wanted to look at the TV guide,
like it was like a Sherlock Holmes villain. Is like, no, Mister Sherlock.
And he already had glasses that were like thick as Coke bottles.
Did he say things while looking it through? Like indubitably.
I want to believe that he did. But the point is that he had multiple of these magnifying glasses, not the kind that you're thinking of that are the size of like a Coke can. Like these were the size of a small basketball, and I would take them outside and start fires with them and burn ants.
That makes sense. Is this why you're also collecting bones from animals that you had abused and not showing any empathy towards when you would hurt other children? That time period?
Look, just because I beat the shit out of you once or twice doesn't mean I didn't show empathy to other children.
We talk about the difference between reality and fantasy. Reality and fantasy.
I envisioned beating... Damn it.
Back to my bag of bugging. The other thing, and I wish I was good about this, I keep water, a few bottles of water, and you're supposed to change them every 6 months. I'd love to say I do. I have now because we were talking about it, but... I got water. It's got a flask holder, and I got a flask that's empty that you can put, you know, whatever you need in water. A lot of people actually put bleach in them because you can use bleach to clean water and things like that.
You can also use bleach and mix it with
ammonia to kill people, like when you were a child collecting bones and burning ants and.
You, and mix it with ammonia and make something along the lines of mustard gas.
Well, that's fun. Thanks, John. That's one for now. You know, there's thanks, Tiny Hitler.
No, and listen, we're talking about the end of the world. You might need some mustard gas.
Well, you know what else you might need at the end of the world? Because I got them in my bag. Post-it notes. Thank you, Art Fry. Thank you for inventing post-it notes.
Why the fuck would you need a post-it note?
You know what? I might put it on the side of a tree and be like, John, don't go this way. Zombies.
Well, hey, guess what? I'm going to die of a zombie bite because a post-it note's not going to stick to the side of a fucking tree.
You don't know what kind of tree. Maybe it's a fake tree. Maybe we're in a mall. You don't know. Who knows?
Okay. And even if we were in a mall and the post-it note didn't fall off, as I'm running for my life, really going to stop and go, hey, look, wait. There's a post-it note.
You know what? I hope to God aliens do come in a fucking week and they're like, you're going to die. This is my alien voice. They all sound like, you're going to fucking die unless you can provide me with a post-it note. And you're like, son of a bitch. And I'm going to be like, aha.
You've made some weak arguments on this podcast. I believe that one takes the cake.
We're on an alien-based podcast, and I said maybe an alien will want a post-it note. I'm sorry. Maybe he'll want to anal probe you? Well, maybe. Maybe when he's done, he wants to jot it down on a post-it note. It's a twofer.
There's a difference between need and want.
Oh, it's all making sense to me now. So, also on the outside, I've got a lighter. Hey, you never. Everyone's always worrying about shit. Well, but
actually, isn't that a bad idea to have it on the outside? If it rains, the flint of the lighter will get wet?
No, because it's in this bag. The outside is in a sealed flap that doesn't let water in. And then it clasps. And the guy guaranteed me that if I don't submerge it, it'll never get water.
Once again, thank you, Earl. Sealed clasp. Wasn't that your girlfriend's nickname in high school?
Yes, it was. It was. I gave her that nickname. Scissors. Never know when you might need scissors. You know, if you're really bored.
You showed me everything inside your bag, and I found it odd when you showed me the scissors that you had the kind that the preschoolers have. They're like
the plastic safety ones.
Purple. They're about the size of.
Because my wife knows that I like to run with them, so she believes in safety. Safety. It's double safe. They're in my bug out bag for safety, and if I run with them, I won't kill myself.
Thank you for explaining that.
You gave me the stink eye. So.
Oh no, it's still not funny, but I at least appreciate the explanation.
I've also got a 12-volt cord
and a 120 volt cord, just extra cords. Yeah, I work in electronics for a living, and you never know when you might need to splice cord, you know.
And so for those of you who don't know what he means, because I didn't really know, what do you mean you have a 12 volt cord? He basically means the cord that you would plug into the wall.
I can splice onto something and then plug it into an outlet in your car and provide it with 12 volts.
You strip the wire.
Or I can plug it into the wall, exactly, and get you 120 volts, just for anything that you know, who knows? Hopefully never have to use it.
Actually, I think that's really interesting, having the 12 volt or maybe just having a 12 volt car charger for a phone and a phone that you're not using for a phone. I was listening to a different prepper podcast, and there were so many preppers talk about how you should have maps with you, and that makes a lot of sense. Somebody else was saying, well, what if you just have a smartphone with you? It's not meant to be a phone, but rather it's just a huge library of maps and guides. And
well, I guess as long as you've pre-downloaded them, and then that's what I'm saying. have a way to charge it.
You've downloaded the PDFs and you've got a way to charge it.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And we'll get into some of that you're just talking about a little bit later in mine. A few more items. Tactical flashlight. What I mean by a tactical flashlight is actually one that's got a normal setting and then like stupid fucking bright. Like if you can glare someone in the eyes and they'll go blind, like blind them temporarily.
No, I want one that blinds them permanently.
That was an extra $4 and I didn't want to pop for it.
The candelas on this one are reminiscent of the sun.
And then I've also got another one, looks very similar to this, but it's just a wall plug flashlight. It looks just like the tactical one, but you can charge it like you charge your phone. So it's kind of nice. Screwdriver set. It's very small, but it's got a ton of different safety bit heads. It's the size of like a smartphone, and fuck, you can use that anywhere, you know. This one is really fun, and it's probably a little bigger than I'd like it to be, but it's a hand.
wait a second. So far, it's a lot of fun, and it's a little bit bigger than you'd like it to be.
Well, John, that's now you know how my wife feels all the time. It's a lot of fun, but it's a little
your
bigger
gardener's
than
muscles.
Like it to be. That's exactly what we're gonna get. I have a 12 volt handheld CB radio. So it's got a small antenna. It's magnet mount. You can stick it on something. You plug it in anything that's got 12 volts, and it's a 40 channel CB radio. It's the size of like, I don't know. Yeah, it's the size of like a large walkie talkie. Doesn't take up a ton of space.
Breaker 19, Bandit, do you copy?
You got your ears on out there. Come back. You got a smoky.
Conspiracy bot.
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run.
Eastbound and down, yep. Loaded up and trucking.
Yoo-hoo! That's quality television right there. I do own a Trans Am. Thank you very much. Think that movie helped shape my childhood.
And that is the perfect car for a bugging out.
Now getting on to the inside of it, ponchos, never have too many ponchos.
Well, it actually might be the perfect car for bugging out, because no one's going to try to steal it from you.
And that concludes the end of this podcast and
friendship over
this friendship. It's been fun. It's been real. It's not been real fun. No. So on the inside,
I knew you'd love that.
On the inside, ponchos, small. Don't take up hardly any space. Never need them. Sunglasses. Fishing line. I got a whole brand new unopened thing of fishing line in case you ever need to A, fish, or B, strangle someone to death, or C, hang up some laundry. Never know.
You can just make a garret right then and there.
To choose your own adventure. I've got a small saw chain. Speaking of garrets, it looks like a garret, and it's just got, it looks like a chainsaw chain, and you can use it. Pull it back and forth, cut through a
bolt. I'd actually never seen one of these. Very cool.
Yeah, I mean, they're small, and I'm sure I've never used it. It's very tedious, but it'll get through, you know. You got to cut down some limbs and shit like that. Two pair of gloves. I got a light set, which is just, you know, like little bitty sheer gardening gloves. And I got a heavier duty set for...
Well, one's a work set, and one's like a stay warm
set. One's
a
bite set, unless it's in case of zombies come. No.
This if is you just, have gloves that a zombie could not bite through,
they make like
wouldn't they be more like chainmail?
I was just gonna say they have like those shark bite suits that are kind of just, you know, chainmail and shit like that.
Yeah,
this I just had literally in our medicine cabinet. It takes up no space, so I threw it in there as an arm sling. I've got a watch, a digital watch that lights up. It's got a stopwatch and a countdown timer.
Is it
on there?
G-Shock?
It's a Swatch, and I have accessorized it with different colors. No.
Synchronized Swatches. Yeah.
Synchronized Swatch. I don't know how many people are going to get that, but I love Parker Lewis Can't Lose. This is kind of fun. It's a necklace that's got a compass, a whistle, and that one of those magnesium fire starters you can saw it off and start yourself a fire.
But it's really one of those things where all of those are so small, you really couldn't use them. It's more along the lines of Brent enjoys wearing necklaces.
That, and I feel like I should always have a rape whistle because of my sweet, sweet ass.
Agreed.
Tubeless tire repair kit. I used to ride four-wheelers all the time. I always carried one of these. You never know when you're going to get stuck. It's really just a punch tool, some super glue, a lighter, and a pipe cleaner is pretty much what it is.
God, I think I have the same kit to clear out my bong.
It's dual purpose. As the guy on Doomsday Prepper said, two is one and one is none.
Everything has to have two purposes.
That's right.
And you have to have two of everything. I love the fact that you brought this gentleman up. Conspiracy Bot, can we please hear from him?
They say it takes a person three times of hearing something for it to go into their permanent memory. So I'm going to tell you, two is one and one is none. Two is one and one is none. Two is one and one is none. And you can't even imagine how important that it is for me to tell you that and to stress that point.
So now that we've established that two is one and one is none, and we aren't even sure what that means, he then gets into the fact that if you're prepping, you need the 10 C's. What are the 10 C's?
Base my bug out bags on the 10 C's, which is a cutting tool, cargo tape, combustion device, a canvas needle, candling device, a compass, a cotton bandana, cordage, a covering, and a container. All those things are in my kit.
Do you get the feeling that he kind of changed the words around there just so they would all be C's? I don't even understand how that makes you remember it better. I mean, I understand that if they were all naturally C's, yeah, but if you're just kind of making it up as you go along so they fit. In fact, I'm not even saying it correctly. Let's hear from his son.
What do you have a headlamp that starts with an H? And you have duct tape and you call it cargo tape.
My point exactly.
Yeah, it's like my buddy who's Russian with the three P's: guns, ammo, and food. He's Russian, so everything starts with a P and it's got like a backwards E in there somewhere.
No, we got it. Now it's not as funny as you explained it, but it's still okay.
I'm a dirty asthmatic, so I got an inhaler in there. Big old thing of ibuprofen, ace bandage, toothbrush, toothpaste, wet ones, antibacterial crap, sunscreen, lip balm, dental floss, bobby pins, Q-tips, med tape, thermal packs.
I love how you tried to skip over bobby pins like that was a real necessity.
Bobby pins are always great to have. You can use them as, you know, makeshift staples. You
Picking
can hold
a lock.
Your hair back. You can pick a lock. You can stir things. I mean,
pick a lock.
It's use. Hey, if it's the zombie apocalypse, maybe I want to feel pretty. You know, you never know how those Saturday nights are going to go. I like to feel good about myself no matter what we're doing.
It's going to take a lot more than a bobby pin.
So all that shit I have in a couple bags. And then I actually, on top of that, have a generic first aid kit. I say generic. It's just a kit. It's got gauze and anything that you're going to see in a first aid kit. I'm sure it's got burn creams and things like that.
One of the items you covered there, I think it's important to point out, you mentioned ibuprofen.
Yeah.
It's not just because it's a pain reliever, although that's great. I mean, nobody wants to walk around the apocalypse with a headache. It's also an anti-inflammatory, and that's really important if you don't have access to, you know, medical.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the best thing. You sprain your ankle or anything like that.
It's going to do a lot more for you than Tylenol.
And then also, I didn't throw in there aspirin, which, you know, aspirin's for pain. If someone's having heart problems, you think someone's having a heart attack, it's always good to have aspirin. You know, give them one. It's blood thinner, you know. It's a good thing to have. Batteries. You never know what's going to use batteries. So I've got batteries in there.
Or if the apocalypse is due to vampires, blood thinners, you can get more out of the ones you choose to sacrifice.
That is true. Take him. He's runny.
No. It's all about marketing at that point. He's juicy.
That's how I like to refer to him. Batteries. You never know when you're going to need batteries. I got an assortment, little pack of assortment of batteries.
One of the things, I mean, there's more than one, but one of the things in your bug out bag that's important to eventually replace.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
15 years from now, you can't be relying on the same batteries. And now, actually,
if you read batteries, I think they have they say on there like 10 years. So that's good.
Really?
Yeah. If you buy the good ones, they say they're good for 10 years now. I know that because I just bought some new 9 volts and I put one in there.
I know that because I bought the bad ones and they are bleeding all over my remote control.
I got another magnesium fire starter. This one's a little bigger. It's actually a usable one. A few Mylar blankets. If you guys know what those are, every time you see like a disaster movie, they're those silver reflective tiny blankets that they put on people that are also good for like reflecting. It brings in heat. You can use it to get someone's attention.
They look like they're the same material that, like, the wings, I don't even know what you call them.
They are. Mylar. It's what they use on, like, if you're talking about, like...
Satellites?
Like satellites, yep. Mylar sails, yep. Absolutely.
Wow. Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Can you just go ahead and edit out the part where I sounded unsure?
No, of course. I will. This whole point here will be, you know, edit it out. None of this is going to actually be in it. So you can say whatever you want right now. I'll just take it out.
I feel reassured and I've gained faith in our friendship again.
Good, good. You know, always trust me because I would never lie to you.
Awesome. And you know what else? I am so glad Atlantis just sank to the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, fuck those Atlanteans.
Every one of them.
Unless they're going to come back for us. Hey, beam us up.
All right, go ahead and, when you're done, I'm ready to start the show again.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Paracord, 550 paracord. I've got a little.
I saw them in concert once.
Paracord. They opened for Striper. 550 paracord, which is the one they say you should get. Mine has a little clip, and you can clip it on the outside of your bag, and inside it actually has a small knife and some matches. And at least it says it does. I've never undone it. Small knife and some matches and a fish hook and things like that. And I also have one of those paracord bracelets that you can undo and, you know, in case you need paracord.
Well, as a new person to the whole preparing for the apocalypse, why in the world do I need... First, what is paracord and why do I need it?
Paracord is just rope. It's small rope. So it's rope. Tangle. Yeah, it's rope. And you can...
Why do we call it paracord?
I think is what they use for parachutes.
Parachutes, right? Yeah. It's just weird that's the nomenclature for it.
Super braided, so it's strong, that kind of shit, you know.
And why do I need it?
You don't. People that want to survive might need it
okay.
If you've got to, you know, anything you might need a rope for, hang food from a tree so bears don't get to it, tie up rope across a place to trip the zombies. Hey, fun times. Tie your pack onto your ankle because you got to swim somewhere, you know, through a mile of shit to come out clean on the other side. You know, you never know.
Well, I mean, I was somewhat joking, but at the same time, you really can use it to, put a tarp up.
Yeah. Or let's say you really, really, really want a jump rope. Well, there you go. Let's go down. Just makes sense. This one's kind of cool. I've never opened it, but it's called a life straw. And what it is it's, I don't know, 12 inches long, and you stick it into a puddle or any water, and you use it as a straw, and it filters whatever you drink. It's about 12 inches, and you stick it in, and you drink what comes out.
I'm just going to leave it alone. Go ahead.
And, you know, it filters anything, and supposedly by the time that it gets...
So it's like a penis. I couldn't stop. I tried.
Is this another thing you want me to edit out, John?
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. I got a couple of those. Cotton pads, just for in case you need to like stop wounds, use them as dressing, things like that. Toilet paper. When the shit goes down, your ass better not be brown. Some toilet paper. That's high quality right there. I rhymed. You're welcome.
I feel like you stayed up last night working on that one.
How can I work this in another show? When shit goes down, I got it. Baby, wake up.
It's 3 a.m. What do you want from me?
Here's another one that you touched on. In the bottom of it, I have several maps and atlases. I have an Illinois map, Wisconsin map, Missouri, just Indiana, all the around states to where I'm at right now. And then an atlas that's got everything, because guess what? GPS might not be working. You might not have a phone. Luckily, we grew up in a time where I can actually read a fucking map. And nothing makes me madder than people that are having a map and they're like, I don't know how to use this. That just make you angry. Are you one of those people?
No, when you say maps, I mean, are you talking like maps of trails and things?
No,
of that
I don't
nature?
Have like trail map. No, just like geographical maps, like road, highways.
Okay. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That. You know, your normal, like when you go to a truck stop, those maps. And then I actually have a larger, that leather bound one that you saw flips over is like a U.S. Atlas map. It's got every state, every major highway. But it's compact. It folds into itself and, you know.
So it's interesting. You kind of got to think about the varying degrees of bugging out. I mean, you're bugging out either way, but first, of course, you're hoping you're one of the first people to do so. You're in your vehicle. I mean, because last thing you want to do is
but
abandon
even if
your vehicle.
You're on foot, you need to know which way you're going.
Of course. But if you're on foot, you really probably want to avoid the major thoroughfares because you've made yourself a target at that point.
Yeah, depending on what's going on. Yeah.
Well, if anything is requiring you to abandon your car and be on foot, it's going down enough where people will target you.
Yeah, like zombie apocalypse, war. Three Dog Night decided to get back together. You know, anything like that, like shit's going down.
The Cubs win the World Series. Donald Trump is made president. I mean, all this crazy shit that would never happen.
So two more items that I've got in there. I've got just a regular AM/FM radio that takes batteries, hence the batteries that I talked about earlier. And then one of my favorite things, I've got a crank radio, that's AM/FM weather band, it's got a crank that powers all of it. It's also got a solar power.
And you told me, you mentioned weather band, something I didn't know. That's also the emergency band.
Yes. It's got emergency band, weather band, AM, FM. It's got a flashlight and it's got a charger for 12 volt car, USB, anything. So you can charge your phones. You can charge that walkie to, or I'm sorry. You can power that CB off of it, things like that, and you just crank it. And it says,
so you can get as much power as you want out of it as long as
you're
standing
there cranking it.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, and it's not only crank, it is solar powered too. So you can just leave it out and it powers itself with solar.
Of all the stuff you just went through, I need one of those.
You know what? I got it off of Amazon. It was like $20.
And, that's so cool.
Yeah. So everything in the bag weighs about 20, they say like 25 pounds. It's like 27 pounds, which is close to it. It's not bad. Carry it on your back. If your guys are actually interested in doing this, carry it on your back. That's the easiest way. And the best thing about this, I thought was funny. I've had this for a long time. I've had all the items for years. When my dad told this shit to me about, oh, you need to do this, I told my wife, and she's like, oh, I guess so, yeah, whatever. And I'm like, well, baby, like, I need help getting online and finding these things. And she just, like, took it and ran. And she was online buying the things, and I'd come home, and she'd put together, like, a little bag with, like, here's ibuprofen and this and that and the other, and just, like, she had a blast with it.
So you kind of tricked her into it.
Yep, yep.
You know she listens.
I'm going to edit this out, too.
Shit. All right.
So have I sold you on a bag yet, John?
It's like, I feel like you just asked me if you sold me on a 95 Saturn.
Can I get you into this Saturn? Hey, you know what? There's miles of smiles left in this bastard.
Prior to our conversation, I definitely decided that a bug out bag would be good to have. Now, one of the distinctions that we haven't made is whether it's a bug out bag for the winter or a bug out bag for the summer.
Yeah.
Obviously the way in which you'd prepare for each of those, would change a little bit. So what I focused on are the things that wouldn't change. So
which is kind of what I have in mind is like the universals.
So I've got, here's my list, and I certainly won't focus on the things that you've already got, but I'll spend a little bit more time on the ones that you don't. Water purification tablets.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you get a bug out, I think carrying water with you is a fruitless endeavor. So I'd want a way to make my surroundings more.
Absolutely. Other than a couple, like I said, I have a couple 20-ounce bottles just for right off the bat. But yeah, you're not going to carry gallons of water with you.
Right. You mentioned a Life Straw. Awesome. Awesome. I would take like a 3-man tent with me. I mean, if you've ever been in a 2-man tent, it's not actually a 2-man tent.
Mm-hmm. It's a 1-Brent tent.
I'm not even saying that. It's a 1-person tent if you ever move in your life. And if you want to put your stuff in there too, minimum it's 3-man
tent. 2-person tent if you're feeling froggy.
So one of the things that you didn't mention is a shovel. They make those shovels that are collapsible.
Yep.
And I've seen them now that not only are they collapsible, but they also double as like a battle axe. I mean, they're sharp as hell. And you literally, like, let's say it was the zombie apocalypse, could take a zombie's head off.
Unfortunately, my religion doesn't allow me to dig in the ground, so I can't carry a shovel.
What religion is that?
The one I just made up.
Welcome to the Hall of Bud Light.
No, those actually are awesome. Like, like you said, a weapon, a club, dig in the hole. Just, you know what? If you're stuck somewhere and you got to take a shit, dig a hole and cover it. There you go.
Yeah. I mean, of course a shovel makes a lot of sense, but I want that shovel that also doubles as that weapon. And not just because it's cool, but because seriously, I mean, you might need it.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
You talked about having a lighter. You talked about waterproof matches, and you even mentioned a flint. Now, there's specifically a ferro rod. I mean, you can use it forever and ever and ever. It just continues to make sparks for you. A little bit better than a little handheld flint.
Fuck you. That's what I got to say.
I love the internet. Hey, also, you mentioned flashlights and a tactical light sounds awesome. Along the lines of flashlights, I would have something a little bit different. I would have one, the flashlight that could also be used as like a club.
Yeah, I have one of those. I have a Maglite, but the problem is they take those giant D fucking batteries and they have a tendency to swell.
And your vibrator needs all of those?
Yes. Well, most of mine are run off 220. I had an outlet put in the bedroom. They take D batteries.
We just call it the soothing fingers.
This is just me talking. And like, you gotta like beat them, heat them up to try to get the batteries out after a while. Like, and I haven't had great luck with mag lights, I guess is what I'm getting at.
All right. Fair enough. Maybe it's a bad idea.
But no, I'm with you. Yeah.
But the other one, definitely I would not leave without would be a headlamp.
Yeah. Which actually, funny enough,
having access to both your hands while looking at something.
And I didn't think about that. I use that when I'm soldering or working on electronics all the time. Never thought about it for this. Good point.
Next would be a knife. I would definitely want a fixed blade knife.
I forgot about my knife completely, too. I have like the Rambo looking fucking special.
Well, you know what? Your turn is over.
Go ahead.
Get in the back of the line.
I concede.
A fixed blade knife. Well, I love pocket knives and you know, flipping them out and looking like I'm Johnny on the spot. A fixed blade knife is the way to go.
Look what you did there.
Yeah, I know.
Is that because you like to get pissed on? Johnny on the spot?
I get it. I just don't know what to do with it.
Fart in my mouth. Fart in my mouth. Oh, sorry. That's from a movie.
I watch. I'm lost. I'm so lost.
Carry on, my wayward son.
All right, fixed blade knife. A few things. I would not go cheap on this because from what I can tell, there's basically two types. There's stainless steel, and then there's like the carbon based knives. The carbon based are a lot more popular because they're a lot stronger. The steel is harder, or the metal is harder. Stainless steel also has its benefits in that it actually rusts less. I think I'd still go with carbon based. I would just take care of the knife.
Keep your knives oiled, kids.
Yeah. And I would definitely want at least, I can't believe I'm about to say this. I would definitely want at least 6 inches. I would definitely want 6 inches.
The hard way.
Six, hard six, average white male. Hey, someone's been playing craps.
And I would want, I don't know that I want, you know, they've got those blades that are half a regular blade and half serrated on the blade side. I wouldn't know how to sharpen the serrated. So,
no, you're probably not using it per se, but yeah.
Well, I mean, you use the serrated for like scaling a fish.
True.
However, the really mean Rambo looking knives have the toothed side mm-hmm. on the top of it. And you definitely want that. It helps cut wood and things of that nature. So, a fixed blade, carbon based knife, 6 inches minimum. That's it.
I think mine's, so
mine's 9 inches, and the big thing about it is in the handle, it actually unscrews on the end, and it has, again, like waterproof matches and a fishing line and hook and things like that. So, I mean, half those all have the same things, and every little survival thing you have has that.
Did you ever know that guy when you were growing up that always had to one up you?
You mean the guy who went through his bag in front of you and said every item and you wrote them down so I wouldn't forget and didn't write down my knife? That guy? That guy? Right before we started recording? I don't know anyone like that. I'm sorry.
I was making a joke.
I know. I was too. I thought it was.
Oh. I thought you were angry.
No. Oh, okay. If I was angry, I'd be crying. You know how I always cry when I'm angry.
Why do you do that to me? All right. So a few more things. First aid kit you mentioned, ibuprofen you mentioned, camp cookout plates.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it'd just be nice to have something like
that. It's also good to have those if you ever want to cosplay as like an old time minor 49er. Like, hey, you guys want to go up and try to find some gold?
My name's Cookie.
Every good Halloween has to have a prospector.
All right. So along those lines of food, I would include tea bags, bouillon cubes, salt.
Yeah, you'd include the tea bag.
You better believe it. Tea bags, bouillon cubes, salt, everything just to make things a little bit better. Duct tape. You mentioned toilet paper. You mentioned a multi-tool. I'd love to have a survival hammock. Don't forget the bug spray because, man, it's going to suck out there if you're getting bitten up by mosquitoes. I'd also include extra socks, whether it's winter or summer. I mean,
that's good. That's smart.
Your feet are going to get nasty. There are survival sleeping bags out there that literally fit in the palm of your hand. I mean, that'd be a really good idea. We talked about compass, flashlights. The last thing I want to point out, because there are literally 1,000 things that we haven't mentioned yet that could be included. There's only so much you can include because guess what? Whatever you take with you, you're carrying. And that's really important. That's where we said
backpack, 25 pounds, keep it around there.
Yeah. I found this thing, oddityml.com, called a survival grenade.
It's literally just a grenade, and it says throw it at enemies.
Pull pin, throw.
Count to three.
Throw. You'll survive. throw over 15 feet.
Yeah.
So what it is, it literally is shaped as a grenade. It fits in your hand like a grenade, but it's paracord that we were talking about before. But inside the paracord, wrapped inside the paracord, are a bunch of little surprises. Here is everything wrapped inside this thing that would fit inside the palm of your hand. It's 2 feet of orange tactical cord, 4 feet of jute twine, 30 feet of fishing twine, 4 fish hooks, 1 wire saw, 2 stormproof matches, 6 waterproof matches with striker, 1 whistle buckle, 4 split shot weights, butterfly sutures, 2 split rings, a needle and thread, a compass button, a sheet of aluminum foil, 2 bobby pins, an LED flashlight, a mini folding knife, 4 water purification tablets, 8 feet of military grade tripwire, pure napkin tablet, a razor blade, 2 safety pins, a universal handcuff key. That's my favorite one in here. A Ferro Fire starting toggle, a dog tag signal mirror, and a flint striker. That's all inside of this mini thing that looks like a grenade.
And I do want to say too, you notice how it said military grade tripwire. I bought civilian grade tripwire and people were just stumbling. They weren't even tripping. It was fucking a disaster.
You like, have to have the good stuff.
Like I was hoping to kill 15, maybe 20 people. Seven. Never again.
Failure.
Yep.
One other thing to note, that fits right into my whole thought on bug out bag versus a bug out trunk or a bug out car. Mm-hmm. You might have access to your bag, you might not. Your car should always be ready. I want to get one of those grenades just to have in like my console of my car. And then in the trunk, you know, have some extra, you know, sweatshirts and socks and
John's got a 74 Buick and he's that one guy who all summer long, he keeps a snowplow on and he's spray painted teeth on the front of it. And, it's got stacks, like smoke stacks for some reason. And
the hydraulics on it are just bad enough to where it kind of scrapes as I drive along.
Yeah. You know, so I understand. We're painting a picture for him. I get it.
Seriously though, that everything I mentioned in that little grenade would be nice to have. Obviously, the stuff that we went over is better. But wow, what an amazing thing to have in the console of your car, just in case.
Yeah. In fact, my wife and her searching for things for ours, she bought us these sardine cans. Each of our vehicles have, it's literally a sardine can, and it's a mini survival kit. You can actually Google it and find those. They're a few bucks, and it's got a little bit of everything in there.
And then there's one more thing you might want to take with you, because you don't know what food's going to be like. And that's an MRE. Brent, what does MRE stand for?
Meals ready to eat.
Meal ready to eat. In preparation for tonight's episode, we acquired military MREs.
That's right. Not you civilian bastard MREs. Real military. I don't know what military. It might be the Kraplakistan or whatever.
Whatever stupid bullshit you made up earlier in the show. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shitlotskia. I don't know what you said.
Shitlotsistan. Shitlots on Stan. I don't know.
It was awful either way.
So we've got two oh so good sounding flavors.
Beef ravioli.
And vegetarian chili.
And the best part is they're not just the meal itself. They also come with accoutrement. I believe the beef ravioli comes with some bread that's good for like 15 years and cheese product to put
all
on top.
All bread's good for 15 years if you're daring.
Or if you just need some antibiotics.
Yeah, that's right. Just like every pizza is a personal pizza if you believe in yourself.
So if you're not familiar with the military MRE, they warm themselves up. We're going to take a quick break, warm these bad boys up, and let you know how awesome they are.
All right, we are back, and we have heated up our MREs. I can't speak for John, but I had no experience with an MRE, and if you hear beeping in the background, it's because we opened up the Kim pouches that the MREs come in, and it set off my fire alarm.
Yeah, so I had no idea how they heated these things up. I kind of thought it'd be like those thermal warmers that you use when you go to a football game and you put them inside your mittens.
Yeah, no, it's a
chemical reaction. Like the moment you pour water in, it starts like boil. It's like a witch's cauldron.
The plastic you're hearing, I am cracking open the spoon. So mine is vegetarian chili, and it came with oatmeal cookies. Pretty good. Came with dried fruit. Very tasty. And it came with crackers that are hard as rock, but hey, what can you do? And then my vegetarian chili. John's.
What do they call it on the old ships? Like salt tack or?
Yeah.
Hard tack.
Hard tack. Hard tack. And what did yours come with?
All right. So I have beef ravioli. And it came with wheat bread, quote unquote.
Which was actually soft. Surprise.
It was soft. It didn't taste like bread, but it was soft. And then cheese product to put on top of it, which tasted like harder cheese whiz, maybe. The cheese product, maybe just because we're so used to American cheese in this country, wasn't that bad.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't horrible. And then essentially corn nuts. Like they're literally corn nuts that aren't as hard as actual corn nuts.
Not going to lie, I've been pleasantly surprised with all the food. So we've cracked open our bags. I'm with the vegetarian chili with vegetarian meat chunks. Really looking forward to those. And what's yours one more time? I keep forgetting.
It's beef ravioli. And I'm literally staring
at
ravioli with chunks of beef around it. And it's disconcerting considering this thing has been sitting in an army surplus store for.
And mine is scalding
months,
hot.
If not years.
Scalding hot. All right, here we go. Cheers. I need salt. Not a lot of taste.
Mine does not need salt, though it doesn't have a ton of taste. Mine tastes very reminiscent to Chef Boyardee. Mm-hmm. If you went to the store and bought Chef Boyardee, not ravioli, what do they call a mini ravioli?
Beefaroni or whatever it's called?
Whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Very similar to that. What's still disconcerting to me is it's not like there's just beef inside the ravioli. There are chunks of beef around in the sauce. Like you went to a restaurant and there's beef in the sauce. This was stuck on a shelf for months, if not years, prior to us eating it up. What did they do to this beef?
It's not bad. Like, I'm not opposed to this. You know, it's definitely not meat. You can tell it's that, I can't believe it's not meat, you know. That
Satan or?
Yeah, Satan. Satan made this. No, Satan. Satan, I think. Yeah. Not bad. Yeah, you want to trade?
Well, let's trade.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
I am trying the chili now.
Here we go on the ravioli, the zombie apocalypse ravioli.
Oh, man, you're right.
Need salt.
The chili isn't bad, but man, does it need salt.
Yours has actually got a lot more flavor than mine does. You win.
You always do.
Hold on.
Yours came with crackers specifically because it's chili.
Yeah.
I would be doing it a disservice if I didn't try
one
of your beautiful crackers with this chili. I didn't think you could get worse than a saltine. It turns out you can, and that's what this is.
Well, you know what? In a pinch, I'll tell you what, like I said, the dehydrated fruit was fantastic. They also came with, I had lemonade. I think you had coffee or tea. Which one was it?
Mine came with lemon lime drink, coffee, and tea.
I got the lemon lime drink, but I didn't get the coffee or tea. I feel cheated.
Well, let's be clear. The one that I bought, and neither of us knew, we just went to our respective army surplus stores and bought and asked for MREs. The one that I bought literally said, not for resale, military use only, or not for individual packaging, as I picked it up and bought it for $13.
Which was an exorbitant amount, but we just wanted them for the show.
Yeah, we just wanted it for the show.
Yeah.
Yours.
P.S. Smoke detector still randomly beeping out there from the...
It does not like the chemical that
you want. Yeah, no, not at all.
And then you went ahead and bought one that was made to look like an actual military MRE. Yeah,
but was individual packaging.
It says for military or civilian use.
Totally eating yours over here. I'm going to town on it.
That's fine.
Piss off.
I will say that your the chemical mixture that warmed yours up was so much better than the one.
It went ape shit, yeah.
Like yours was warm in 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Mine...
Yours still needs more time,
and we waited, what, 10?
Mm-hmm.
Though mine, the cheese bread appetizer offering, much better than your oatmeal cookie and cracker offering.
So,
wouldn't you agree with that?
I agree wholeheartedly. Yeah. I mean, but you know, variety is the spice of life. You don't want to have the same thing over and over again, I guess. So,
Of course. It'd be nice to. Oh, the one thing that I forgot, the one thing that we did not include is that mine also had a small pack of pepper sauce.
Oh, yeah. For flavoring.
Which we didn't open.
Yeah, no. You know, it actually, I think that would have probably been better in my chili than in your ravioli.
Yeah, agreed. It would have made a lot more sense. That's why you mix and match.
Buddy. Yeah, no, absolutely.
If you are bugging out or bugging in and you decide that you're going to buy some MREs, get a mixture.
Yep, absolutely.
And buy them in bulk. So, fuck, they're expensive.
Kind of a last minute, we thought of this episode and, you know, with the whole state of the nation right now and people losing their fucking shit. So we thought, hey, why not do an apocalypse episode? As we stated, hopefully you learned something. Hopefully it was a little entertaining for you. You know, it was just something that John had, another thing that John was like, I never even heard of that. I'm like, I've got it ready to go. So fun to throw together. Let us know what you thought though. Let us know what we should have in our bug out bags that we absolutely forgot about.
Or if I actually need one. everything that I talked about was in the etheric. So I'm not sure I'm actually going to do this, but when you're
talking about it over a couple beers, you're like, fuck yeah, man.
Fuck. I'm ready to go.
I'm going to have two. I'm going to have three and I'm just going to burn one. Fuck you.
Not only am I going to have a BOB, I'm going to have a BOV, bug out vehicle. And I'm have a BOL, bug out location.
So it's not your 74 Buick, isn't your bug out vehicle?
Oh, no. That'll be my Cadillac Eldorado.
With a year-round snowplow on the front and painted teeth. And, yeah.
Reinforced steel plates in the...
Your car looks like the ass end of every A-team when they had to weld a bunch of shit onto one of the vehicles to take out said bad guy of the week.
No, you know what? I want? I want a Bluebird school bus fixed up like Dawn of the Dead.
With a plow and all the shit on the side. Yeah, the remake Dawn of the Dead.
Right. But I need the holes with the...
for a chainsaw?
For the chainsaw. Yeah.
That's a given.
Conspiracy bot, the MRE that we got for you, obviously it was used motor oil and various other auto fluids. What were your thoughts?
Frankly, I've had better.
We've all had better, buddy.
That's the point of MRE. MRE isn't supposed to be the soup du jour, which for all you at home, that's the soup of the day.
Don't know if you know that. Sounds delicious.
I'll have that. I'll have that. So find us on Twitter at Hysteria51Pod. Let us know what you thought of the episode, what we forgot, what we should have left out of our bags, anything like that, or if you think we're completely nuts and no one needs a bug out bag.
Come back to our Facebook page, like us on Facebook, and whether you're talking about Facebook or Twitter, please make sure and send us messages about how Brent should not sing.
We've only gotten one message. It was today, and it said, and I quote, it was on Twitter from Corey Hay. It said, "I want more singing and more speed buggy." So, vroom, vroom. Yeah, Corey. Yeah.
I'm truly, completely begging you all, please contact
keep
us.
Those requests coming in and we will fulfill them for you.
And most importantly, visit our new website, hysteria51.com.
.com.
You can find a few things. You can find old episodes, this episode. You can also find various ways to contact us, all of our social media, and a link to our Patreon page.
There you go. What's Patreon, John? I don't know what that is.
I am so glad you asked. Patreon is a way that you can support the show.
How, John? How would I support the show?
It's going to sound crazy. Financially.
Oh, I knew it was that. Fuck that show. Never liked it in the first place.
We ask simple things. $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month.
All your money a month.
Whatever you want to do. And at various levels, you get various rewards. Starting with a shout out on the show, all the way up to co-hosting with us. So,
there's a bucket list item you can just tick off right there.
Oh, and I forgot to mention on the top one, the $50 a month, you also get one of Brent's kidneys.
Yeah, one. But you got to choose correctly.
You chose poorly.
That's the kidney of a carpenter.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. Hope you're ready for the apocalypse. I'm John.
I've been Brent. Don't forget to bug out.
And he's Conspiracy Bot.
Later, skin bags.
We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to Hysteria 51, a weekly oddcast of conspiracy theories, mysteries, and the unexplained. We'll be back again next week with more known unknowns. If you'd like us to discuss a particular topic, suggest a guest, or simply seek some truth, we'd love to hear from you. You can email the show at hysteria51podcast@yahoo.com and follow us on Twitter at hysteria51pod.
You've been listening to a Fourth Hand Joint.